Dateline Washington, Tuesday, March 31st, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, assessing the health of the economy, we're joined by Brian Westbury, the former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, and get his thoughts on the president's prescription for the auto industry, changing the rules on Wall Street, how to read the stocks these days, and his impressions of the Obama $3.6 trillion budget. Also in this edition, Detroit on Edge. Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter is with us to explain his reaction to Obama's call for reforming General Motors and Chrysler. Plus, keep her out of the Justice Department. Iowa Congressman Steve King is with us to explain why he believes President Obama ought to withdraw the nomination of Don Johnson for Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department over her radical abortion views. And catching up with Ford. While GM and Chrysler have their hands out for more of your tax dollars, we'll check in on the latest marketing strategy for the one major automaker not coming to Washington for help. All that, plus our top news, is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with an examination of the economy, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. He's now chief economist for First Trust Advisors in Lisle, Illinois, located just outside of Chicago. We want to get his thoughts on a wide range of economic issues with all that's happening in the country right now, from the president's statement on the auto industry on Monday to the latest potential regulations and moves on Wall Street, as well as the president's budget plans. And Brian, it's great to have you with us.
Greg, it's great to be with you as always.
Well, certainly an eventful economic stretch here continues. Let's look first very quickly at what happened on Monday with President Obama giving orders to General Motors and Chrysler, rejecting their most recent viability plans, telling GM it's got 60 days to get it stronger, telling Chrysler they got 30 days to merge with Fiat, and also firing GM CEO Rick Wagoner. Economically speaking, what's the impact of all this?
Well, first of all, I mean, one of the key reasons that we're even in this position is that the government has given billions of dollars to these auto companies. And, you know, this started under the Bush administration. And I argued back then that that was a mistake. And I think we're seeing some of that. The government really shouldn't be in the auto producing business, but now it finds itself in that arena. And so I guess when I look at this, The correct outcome would be for these companies to go into bankruptcy and try to work themselves out, using their creditors, the investors that are already there, to do so. Unfortunately, we're kind of stuck and mired in this muck, and it's not clear to me the exit strategy here. I think there's a long way to go.
The president still is hinting a little bit that bankruptcy might be the end game here. Do you suspect that that's a realistic option at this point? I know you want it to be a few months ago and probably still think it's the best option today, but do you think that's actually going to happen?
Yeah, well, I think that's the only way. I mean, General Motors especially has turned into a black hole. The value of that company is somewhere on the order of -$75 a share when you count for all of the liabilities they have, the pensions, the health care, all of those kinds of things. And as a result, I just don't see a way for them to get out of this without going into bankruptcy and renegotiating all of the contracts with every employee, with every retiree. In effect, that's the only way that this is going to happen. The government may do that for them, and then they can avoid bankruptcy. But if it's pretty hard for me to imagine politicians wanting to go against the unions like that. So I would suspect that when all is said and done, if the unions don't give up a lot, that they will end up in bankruptcy.
We're talking with Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. And Brian, the government clearly dipping its fingers into the auto industry. We've also seen suggestions of how it wants to re-regulate Wall Street. We've seen it in a couple different ways. Number one, in terms of the toxic assets that still exist because of the reallocation of most of the TARP money. There's the public-private plan and others to gobble up the continual toxic assets. And also we've heard Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, talk about giving the government authority to go in and take over some privately held companies, whether insurers or other financial institutions, in order to make sure it's not a tipping point for a future economic disaster. What do you make of that strategy?
Yeah, I still think, and we've talked about this, and it can be a complicated concept, but that the accounting rules we have, the mark-to-market accounting rules that we have, are really one of the major problems that our financial institutions face. Some people say, oh, it's good to have them mark assets to market because, you know, that's the reality. But in fact, what's happened is we've had such illiquid assets, distressed sales, all kinds of problems in these markets that when we force banks and insurance companies to mark to market, we're eroding their capital and eroding their ability to continue as viable businesses. I think we should change those rules, and if we were to do so, we would have much fewer problems and less need for the government to step in ways that we really haven't seen since the 1930s. I get worried when we start supporting industries and having the government go in and sink hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. Every one of those dollars has to be taxed or borrowed from somebody else. And typically what we're doing is we're taking from winning businesses, if you will, profitable businesses, and we're giving them to losing businesses. And over time, that's going to erode the United States economy's ability to grow.
Over the first couple months of this administration, Brian, we've seen the Dow plummet to about 6,500 or so. Since then, it's gone back up to the mid or even high 7,000s. Is the market essentially reacting to these policies, or is that simplifying it too much?
Well, I think the market's down and has fallen so much. I mean, we were at about 11,000 last August on the Dow because the government has become so interventionist. I think that's one of the key problems that we face today. The second thing that's happened is that we had a panic really around Lehman Brothers' failure last year and the proposal of the TARP plan, the initial proposal. It caused consumers and people around the country to panic, and this panic kind of drove GDP down dramatically. It's what we would call in economics a drop in the velocity of money, the turnover, the rate of speed at which people spend money. And it looks to me as if that's beginning to bounce back now. That panic lasted probably about 4, maybe 5 months, but the Federal Reserve is now injecting incredible amounts of new money, liquidity into the system. Velocity is beginning to come back. And believe it or not, even in the midst of all of this, with what I think are pretty serious government mistakes, I suspect that the economy and the stock market are going to do much better over the next year than many people fear. And it's based on the return of velocity and a very easy monetary policy from the Fed.
Brian, one potential mitigating factor to that more optimistic outlook is the possibility of inflation, given the extra trillion that the Fed's recently pumped into the economy and the potential for more spending, including the president's budget proposal, which we'll talk about in just a second. How real is the inflation fear in your mind right now?
Yeah, I think it's very real. There's a saying, you know, I've been an economist for 27 years now. I've heard this over and over again. It says, don't fight the Fed. And the Fed is injecting, you just mentioned $1 trillion. That's in addition to the few hundred billion that they injected last year. That's a flood of money, and you can't avoid it. It lifts all boats, if you will. And what it does is it will cause people to think there's more prosperity than there really is, and it will lift the stock market, it will lift economic activity. But eventually all that new money turns into inflation. And that is my biggest long-term fear, other than higher tax rates, that in fact we're going to face pretty significant inflation in the next 2, 3, 4 years.
A couple minutes left with Brian Westbury. And Brian, you mentioned the potential for higher tax rates. So let's talk about the president's budget. He says that he basically wants to roll back the tax cuts passed in the Bush administration for those making more than $250,000 a year. Other economists say, well, when you factor in small businesses that fall into that category and potential energy taxes as a result of the cap and trade system contained within this budget, then everyone's looking at higher taxes. What's your read in a nutshell on this $3.6 trillion blueprint?
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting is that the Congressional Budget Office has released a study recently, and they showed that under current law, that we would expect about $4.7 trillion worth of budget deficits over the next 10 years. The new budget that's being proposed by the Obama administration and many members of Congress are pushing today would increase that to $9.3 trillion over the next 10 years. So this is a massive increase in government spending. It will boost government spending from about 18% of GDP just a few years ago to over 23% of GDP. And the only way to pay for that or to attempt to pay for that is with higher taxes. And so I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg being proposed right now. And in the end, what we know about the U.S. economy is that it almost doesn't matter what our tax rates are. We can barely get more than 20-21% of GDP in tax revenue from the economy. And the reason is simple, and that is if you raise taxes too much, people leave. Businesses leave. They go to other countries, and you undermine the economy. And so I get very nervous about this. The economy cannot sustain this kind of spending in the long run without harming its potential to grow and literally chasing away the most productive members of our society. So I think it's very detrimental. You know, it's kind of interesting. I find myself very optimistic about the economy in the next year or so because of the big boom in money from the Federal Reserve. But then I'm getting more pessimistic as we look out 3 years or so because of the higher taxes and higher government spending.
Last 30 seconds here, Brian. Over the past 6 months, the mantra here in Washington has been, we have to do something. What if they hadn't? What would have been the impact on the economy without the stimulus and maybe even without the TARP?
Yeah, I think the economy, it really is bouncing back today. And in the next couple of days, we're going to have some changes in mark-to-market accounting, which are not perfect. They're less than I would have wanted, but they're going to be positive. And I think the combination of those two things means the economy is going to do much better than people think. And as a result, we really don't need any more stimulus at all.
Brian, unfortunately, we need to call time there. As always, great to have you with us, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Greg. Great to be with you.
Brian Westbury is the former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. He's now chief economist for First Trust Advisors just outside Chicago. This is Dateline Washington.